Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast brought to you by AMS Media. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeu. Lots and lots to discuss this week. I'm really excited about this episode. I'm very excited also to welcome a brand new panelist. So sorry, Vittorio, but I'm going to skip over to Carlo first for his introduction. Carlo, welcome to Simply Serie A, mate. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Harry. And I love the intro music. It feels like I'm going to an Italian wedding.
It's a little bit stereotypical, but most of our listeners are based in the UK, so I thought they'd get it, you know. Carlo, thank you so much for joining us, mate. And do you want to tell our listeners briefly a little bit about what you do and how they can find you on social media?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've been in the media game for about 13 years now, and I mean I've covered everything there really is to cover in the media. I've been an editor, I've been a writer, been a broadcaster. You know, I've gone to major tournaments, so you know I've done a bit of everything. I think my main love, my main Italian football, that's probably what I'm best known for. So really, yeah, that is my area, and that's where I fell in love really with football from being a young kid, really. I have Italian parents. I was born in England and grew up in England, but both my parents are Italian. I grew up in quite an Italian household, and that's where my love of Italian football came from.
Brilliant stuff. And we're pleased to have you on board, Carlo. Vittorio, welcome back, mate. My right-hand man. How are you doing, sir?
I'm not bad, thanks.
I've noticed in the last few weeks you've had a bigger smile on your face. Is that because Lazio are flying?
Well, it's surprising to see Lazio playing so well and be so high in the table, especially in February. We saw it in December, you know, being second in the table, but never so far. So in February. So it's good.
Good stuff. Glad. If you're happy, Vittorio, I'm happy. Right, let's quickly take you through this weekend's results and then we'll move on to some of the games in a little bit more detail. It was Brescia 1, Udinese 1, Fiorentina 1, Atalanta 2, Genoa 1, Cagliari 0, Inter 4, Milan 2, Napoli 2, Lecce 3, Parma 0, Lazio 1, Roma 2, Bologna 3, Spal 1, Sassuolo 2, Torino 1, Sampdoria 3, Verona 2, Juventus 1. I think we're going to start off with the game between Verona and Juventus because, you know, the Milan derby was huge as well, but the Verona-Juventus game made the Milan derby even bigger, in my opinion. It was a game that I was really, really looking forward to, and the result from Verona, of course, added to that excitement, added to the sort of value of that game. Carlo, I understand you're a Juventino.
Well, I mean, yeah, if I have to pick a team that I kind of grew up with, it was Juventus. Roberto Baggio was my idol as a kid. So yeah, you can say that if you want.
So over to you then. What went wrong for Maurizio Sarri's men?
It's really the same things that have been going wrong really all season. I've written a feature that's coming out to get a little plug in that's coming out tomorrow morning, talking about Juventus's problems this season. And I think that the Juventus's performance against Verona is the kind of performance they've been putting in all season, really. And the difference is that the first half of the season, those poor performances weren't getting translated into poor results. Now, as we've seen in the last few weeks, they are starting to get translated into poor results. And that's basically what happened in the game against Verona. Oriented with their passing, the tempo was slow. There wasn't much creativity. It was really down to kind of like individual moments of brilliance from in this case Cristiano Ronaldo, who scored the opener. And that's really what's been happening with the Juventus all season, really. It's been, they've played badly and they've kind of been bailed out by a moment of brilliance from Ronaldo or from Paulo Dybala. So, yeah, it's the same, really. And Juventus couldn't really have any complaints with losing that game against Verona.
Vittorio, your take on the game before I share my thoughts.
Well, one thing is Verona is a very good team. Verona is a team that create a lot of trouble. They are very fast. They press you very high. So if you're not very fast moving the ball, then you struggle. Wednesday, Lazio played against Verona at home and draw. And everybody was saying, you know, well, Lazio is struggling. They're not playing any more great football. And then 3 days later, Verona beats Juventus. And I agree with what Carlo was saying. You know, Juventus is struggling to play Sarri ball. And it's not easy, you know. You're switching from Allegri type of football to a Sarri type of football. It's completely different, and it takes time. And one of the questions is, does Juventus have the right players to play the Sarri way, the Sarri football? I'm not sure about that. So, you know, I think Juventus has the best team overall, but they're struggling to play how Sarri wants. And the other question I have is, are we sure Sarri is a winner? Because for sure, Sarri's team play great football, but how many leagues did Sarri win? He went close with Napoli. He didn't win with Chelsea. You know, I always thought hiring Sarri was a risk because he's not a winner. So maybe that's the reason why Juventus is struggling.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the Europa League that he won with Chelsea was his first major trophy. So that kind of says a lot. But then again, in Sarri's defence, other than Napoli, he hasn't necessarily had the type of jobs in which he kind of had that sort of room to go on and win things. Am I correct in saying that, guys?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, Sarri has been criticised. You know, he's not a winner. His whole career in management, you know, he's never won anything. But until he took the Chelsea job, there was never really an expectancy for him to win. I mean, if he'd have won with Napoli, you know, that would have been miraculous when you look at, you know, financially, you know, Napoli's finances up against, you know, Juventus's finances. I mean, he shouldn't even have been competing with Juventus. So he did an amazing job at Napoli. But yeah, it's like Vito said, it's difficult for him at Juve. Vito asked the question, do Juve have the players to play Sarri? But I don't think they have the players, certainly not in midfield. I think Juventus's midfield is very weak for a team at the elite level. And it's been Juventus's weakness for a good 4 years now, ever since the great midfield of Pirlo, Vidal and Pogba, kind of 2015 and 2016, all those three players left Juventus. They've never been replaced. And Juventus don't really have the Sarri's quick one and two touch football. So yeah, I have my doubts whether he has the personnel. So I don't actually blame him for Juventus's struggles as much as a lot of people are. I blame more the club for not constructing the squad that's suitable for Sarri's type of football.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is important, of course. You know, you've got to give him the right tools to do the job. It's not as though Juventus's hierarchy wouldn't have been fully aware of the type of football that Maurizio Sarri plays when they hired him. So, you know, it was, of course, down to them to assemble the right squad. But equally, it is his first season. And, you know, you can't overhaul an entire squad in one summer. So in that sense, I have a little bit of sympathy for him. But I still believe that Juventus have enough in terms of quality to win the Scudetto. And that's, you know, we've seen Inter stutter recently as well. And I know, obviously, they got a great result at the weekend and the pendulum has somewhat swung, but we'll come on to that in just a moment. I want to talk about the VAR that was operated in that game. And the reason I want to talk about this is because the majority of our listeners are, of course, Premier League fans as well. And, you know, we've seen VAR be applied in the Premier League this season quite poorly. We've seen lots of controversial moments, lots of messing around, lots of standing around wondering who's accountable for what. But there was a very good use of the VAR, I thought, in that game at Verona when, of course, they were awarded the penalty. I didn't notice that it came off a hand at the time. You know, it was a great piece of officiating. They went over, they had a look, and they got the right decision. So I just want to give Serie A a pat on the back for that, because I do think that they're using it in a far more effective way than some of the other leagues around Europe at the moment. It's still not perfect, but it's getting there. It's getting better. And, you know, it's a league that I think gets a lot of bad publicity. So I think it's only right that when they do something well, you know, we should give them a pat on the back. Now, let's move on to the Milan derby. And it was a huge derby. And as I've said already, the sort of importance just went up a notch, didn't it, when Juventus slipped up on Saturday night. It was always going to be a close encounter, we thought. And it was really a game of two halves. Vittorio, what did you make of it?
Yes, and you're talking about the Juventus match, but let's not forget that after Lazio beating Parma, Lazio was second, 1 point ahead of Inter. So Inter had to win just to keep the second place. So obviously, it was an important match for Inter. It was a weird match because Milan dominated the first half, went ahead 2-0, and it was surprising because we never saw Inter playing that bad. Obviously, when you take off Handanovic, that is probably the best goalkeeper in Serie A, and you put Padelli, that I thought he retired 1 year ago, this doesn't help. So, you know, Milan played better. The two goals were two bad mistakes, I would say, from Padelli. In fact, they are signing Viviano, or at least they're trying to sign Viviano if Handanovic won't be able to play Sunday. And in the second half, Inter played better, but I don't know if Carlo agree with me. The two first goal of Inter were two terrible mistakes of Milan defense. Without those two mistakes at the beginning of the second half, maybe Milan would have won it. So, yes, it was an incredible reaction from Inter, but what would have happened if Milan didn't make those stupid mistakes at the beginning of the second half?
Yeah, I mean that's true. And I mean, there was definitely Milan could have defended those two goals better. But I mean, I guess you could also say the same thing about Milan's goals, especially Padelli, who you said retired 1 year ago. I mean, yeah, I mean, he's a disaster. I mean, I said before the game that he was going to be the biggest absentee was going to be Sami Handanovic, more so than Lautaro Martinez or Bastoni in defence. And that proved to be the case. So I think that if, you know, looking ahead to this Sunday, that's where Lazio really should target is Padelli, because he's definitely a weak spot. But yeah, coming back to the Milan derby, it was an incredible game, and it was a great advert for Italian football. It's like you said, Harry, he gets a lot of publicity for the bad things, but this was an absolutely incredible game, incredible atmosphere. San Siro was full. I mean, Ashley Young was raving after the game about he'd never seen an atmosphere like it. He said it was like it was on fire, the stadium.
He did play for Man United, to be fair. There is no...
That's true. But yeah, it was an amazing comeback from Inter. It was a comeback of champions, really. So yes, Milan could have defended better, but I think we have to give credit also to Inter. And it was a typical Antonio Conte style comeback, really. Just, you know, never say die, and never knew that when they were beaten.
I mean, the Brozovic goal in particular as well. I thought that was special. And De Vrij's header as well. I mean, fantastically directed. There's question marks, of course, about the defending. No doubt about that. But they were excellent goals, in my opinion. Vittorio, in terms of, you know, going into this game, and I don't mean to undersell Lazio, because we're going to come on to talk about Lazio next, don't worry. But in terms of this game, many people felt that heading into this, if Inter didn't win, it was almost they would be resigned to accepting the fact that Juventus will probably win the title again. And I know Juventus aren't exactly indestructible like they have been in recent years, But for me, this was so big in terms of the title race staying alive. How much of a mental impact is this going to have on Inter and Juve, who will be disappointed with what they saw at the San Siro as well as in Verona?
Well, obviously, the impact for Inter is huge because winning like this in a derby is massive. You know, we saw on Instagram Lukaku publishing a picture saying the new king of Milan, you know. So they needed that win. I don't agree that not winning this match would have been the end of the fight because Juventus is struggling. I think even if Inter hasn't got the best team, I still think that Juventus has the best player, but they're struggling to play great football. So I think at the moment, Inter feels that they have the big chance to win it this year. And with Antonio Conte, as Carlo said, you know, you can never give Inter for granted. They're a big team. They're going to fight. They don't play an amazing football, to be honest, but you know that they will never die. And so I think at the moment, probably Inter is the favorite for the Scudetto because Juventus is struggling and Inter is fighting. Let's not forget that Eriksen is not playing. Now, the question mark is where do you place Eriksen in this Inter? But still, they have a lot of players on the bench that can come in and contribute. So really, Inter at the moment, it's the favorite for the Scudetto. And obviously, this is a huge boost. Maybe this weekend is going to be the most important match for Inter. Maybe, I'm not sure about that. But obviously, if they win even Sunday, then, you know, it's going to be a huge boost.
Absolutely. And I totally accept your point that it wouldn't have been, you know, over. But for me, it just feels like when Juventus slip up, when they lose to the likes of Verona, given how dominant Juventus have been in the last few years, you have to take advantage of those moments. And so if Inter failed to take advantage of that moment, then I would have started to think, here we go again, it's happening again. Carlo, do you agree with Vittorio that Inter are now the favourites to win the Scudetto?
Yeah, it's difficult because when a team has won the Scudetto 8 years in a row, it's almost like you forget that anyone else can possibly win it. But I've thought all season, and I've said it since day one, that I think Juventus are very vulnerable and I think they're there for the taking. I really think they're there for the taking, and it's really down to whether Inter or Lazio, you know, you can't rule Lazio out, but I still think that Inter are the most likely team to take the title off Juventus. I think it's down to them. I think, you know, the next three games, Inter have got Lazio away this Sunday. Then they've got, I think it's Sampdoria at home. And then after that, the next match is away at Juventus Stadium. I think that if after these three games, Inter are still top of the table, I think they'll win the title. I think that Juventus obviously had the Champions League as well. They're playing badly. They're totally reliant on Ronaldo and Dybala. I think that the idea that Juventus have more depth is a little bit of a myth. I think that Juventus, as I mentioned before, their squad was constructed badly. And if you're playing, it's a 4-3-1-2 and a 4-3-3. They're the two systems that Sarri's been alternating between. If you look at the 4-3-1-2, Juventus basically have three forwards, Ronaldo, Dybala and Higuain, rotating over two forward positions. Sometimes Sarri actually plays all three of them because Juventus don't have a natural trequartista, a natural player in the hole behind the front two. So they're very, and if they do go 4-3-3, Sarri said himself, they can only play that 4-3-3 when Douglas Costa is available. He's injured now, as you know, once again, he's always injured. So really, the Juventus don't actually have that many options, not in attack. They're totally reliant on Ronaldo and Dybala. If one of them two gets injured, I think they're in huge trouble. Inter are only in the Europa League. They'll probably play their reserves in that competition. You know, I think everything is going Inter's way. It's up to Inter to really hold their nerve. And I think there isn't a better manager than Antonio Conte to motivate and drive a team over the line. So I really think that, yeah, if I had to, you know, gun to the head, I would probably go with Inter right now.
Wow. Yeah, let's not forget that Inter is playing Coppa Italia this week. Then there is Lazio away. Then there's the Europa League. So this next 3 weeks will be very important, because obviously if Inter beats Lazio while playing Europa League the next Thursday and Wednesday the Coppa Italia, this means that, yeah, they can make it. And I agree totally with Carlo. I wouldn't be surprised if Inter get eliminated immediately from the Europa League, because we know that Antonio Conte doesn't care. So he's only focused on the Scudetto title, obviously. So even though he doesn't like to play the subs, it's going to happen. I'm pretty sure that in the Europa League, he's going to play all the bench. So we're going to see what happens. The next 3 weeks are probably fundamental.
Yeah, I mean, talking about the Europa League, they, of course, play Ludogorets. And, you know, you get the feeling that if he does play a sort of understrength side in the first leg, which they're away from home in, he will probably feel that they still have enough to turn it around at San Siro if they need to, if they need to throw the big guns in. So I guess it kind of buys him an extra week, doesn't it, to decide on how he's going to approach that. It's unlikely that, it will probably happen now that I'm going to say it, but it's unlikely that they'll go to Ludogorets and get absolutely hammered. Carlo, you mentioned Douglas Costa injured again. That guy could get injured eating his cornflakes. You know, he's such a frustrating player, isn't he? Because he's so talented.
Yeah, I can't remember. One of the Italian papers, it might have been the Gazzetta, did a report yesterday or Sunday on the amount of games he's missed at Juventus. And I can't remember how many games it was, but it's an absolutely ridiculous number. I think he played like 900 minutes last season in total. And this season hasn't been much better. He's out injured again. He'll probably miss the Inter game. As soon as Douglas Costa is injured, then Juventus can only play the 4-3-1-2. So it's a shame, because he is an electrifying talent. The pace and dribbling ability that he has to be able to stretch teams and at his best. It's just a shame that he's very brittle, and he'll be, I would say, 95% sure he will be sold this summer by Juventus because of his injuries.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. It's time to move on to another game involving the third Scudetto contender. You see Vittorio's face light up there as I say that. Lazio, of course, came away from Parma with a 1-0 win. Felipe Caicedo with the goal. Vittorio, talk us through this one. How did it go? Was you impressed by what you saw from Simone Inzaghi's side?
I think it was a very important match for Lazio, because the weaknesses of this team is the bench. Lazio has a very good starting 11. With that, they can beat Juventus, Inter, etc. But when Milinkovic-Savic is missing, when other starters are missing, there are question marks. And against Parma, Lazio was without Lulic, without Milinkovic-Savic, without a lot of other players. And so it was a very important test for Lazio, because Parma, yes, they have been missing players like Gervinho is out, etc. But was still an important test. Lazio didn't play amazing football, but still they created a lot of chances. This match could have finished easily 3-0 for Lazio. They missed a couple of bad chances, but they were able to win 1-0. So it was an important test. Now, Lazio, I still don't think, is at the same level of Juventus and Inter, to be honest with you. I still think that the goal for Lazio is reaching the Champions League. But obviously, if Lazio beats Inter next Sunday, then obviously you have to talk about the Scudetto fight with Lazio in it. But it was very important for Lazio for the Champions League position, because Roma lost again, and now the gap between Lazio and the fifth team is 14 points, which is a lot considering we are half in February. So I think this is the goal for Lazio, and then, you know, what everything else come, it's better.
Fantastic. Carlo, let's get your take. Are Lazio in the race? I feel like Vittorio's being a bit cautious because he doesn't want us to come down on him if they fail. I feel like he's optimistic, but he's kind of hiding it a little bit. Carlo, do you see Lazio as title contenders this season, or will you be reserving judgment for a few more weeks as well?
I'd like to wait and see what the table's looking like after that Juventus-Inter game. But Vito, like Vito says, if Lazio beat Inter this Sunday, I think absolutely you have to call them a Scudetto contender. There isn't that long of the season left. I mean, how many games have we got left? 14 games after this. I mean, that's still plenty of matches, but you know, it's the thing is Juventus are struggling so much that really, you know, Lazio, you can't rule Lazio out. But I just think Inter have got it. Inter are my favourites, as I said before.
The only advantage Lazio has.
I'm looking at the calendar now. Lazio will have to go away to Atalanta. They'll have to go away to Napoli. So they'll have to go away to Juventus. So I think Lazio have a quite a tough run in. But at the same time, Inter still have to go away to Lazio. Inter have to go away to Juventus. They have to go away to Roma as well. So Inter's is really, Juventus have got the easiest run in terms of fixtures because they play all the tough teams at home. But you know, as we've seen with Juventus, they're also dropping a lot of points against the smaller teams. So I think everything to play for. Well, what I would say though is it's fantastic to have a three-way title race in Italy. I mean, we haven't even had a two-horse race for so many years, and a three-horse race. I mean, can you remember, Vito, the last time we had a three-horse race for the title? When was it?
Don't remember, because
2002, maybe 2002, when Lazio beat Inter on the final day. Maybe that was the last time there was a three-horse race. So it's great to see.
Shall I make you guys feel old?
Go on.
2002, I was 12 years old. There you go. I don't even know if you're older than me, Carlo.
Vito was about 40 then, I think.
I was already working in journalism.
Yeah, you're the baby. You're the baby, Harry. Everything.
That's all right. I'll take it. I feel like I've aged a lot though in the last year or so, particularly since things started going downhill for the Arsenal.
Talking about Lazio, the big advantage they have is they're out of the Coppa Italia, they're out of the Europa League. So, you know, from now on, Inzaghi has every time a week to prepare the match, while Inter has to focus on the Coppa Italia this week and then Lazio. Inzaghi is already preparing the match of Sunday night against Inter, and then next week Inter will be focusing on Europa League, Juventus will be focusing on Champions League. Let's not forget that this season the goal for Juventus is winning the Champions League, so they will lose energy there as well. And again, Lazio will have all the week to prepare for the match, while Juventus and Inter will go and prepare the European competition. So this is a big advantage. On the other end, I still think that Lazio depth, it's a little bit not as good as Juventus and Inter.
I think injuries will also play their part. Because, I mean, I mentioned before about Juventus's, the depth that Juventus supposedly have been a bit of a myth. But, I mean, look at Lazio. I mean, one thing where Lazio have been a little bit lucky this season is they've gone throughout the whole season with their key players missing the odd game here and there, but generally no serious injuries. You know, Immobile's been fit pretty much all the season. Okay, Correa's had a few injuries, but apart from Correa, most of your big main players have been fit for the season. But if, let's say, Immobile gets an injury, is out for 2 months, or, you know, Lucas Leiva's out for 2 months, you know, all of a sudden that, you know, that can end your title challenge. You're so reliant on a few players. But you could say the same about all the teams. You know, if Juventus get Ronaldo, I mean, Ronaldo never gets injured, but probably jinx 2 months. You know, Juventus' title challenge might be over. Inter, if they lose Lukaku or Lautaro. So it's a, you know, you always need a little bit of luck with injuries going into the, you know, the home straight.
Absolutely. Indeed, it is. Luck is part of it, I suppose. Let's move on to Roma, Lazio's cross city rivals. They were beaten at home by Bologna. Vittorio, what on earth happened there?
Well, Roma dominated the derby, should have won the derby against Lazio. And everybody was, you know, happy because, say, Roma's back, Roma's playing great football. After that, they lost against Sassuolo, they lost against Bologna. playing badly. I mean, both match they deserve to lose. They lost 6 points in only 2 weeks against Lazio, from Lazio. They're playing badly again. I'm not sure. I like the mindset of Fonseca, but probably Roma hasn't got those type of players to play so offensive. The defense is terrible, simply terrible. Mancini's making 2-3 mistakes at a single match. So, you know, Bologna could have won 3-1, 4-1 against Roma last week. Yeah, they're really struggling. They're not playing great football. If Dzeko doesn't score, nobody scores. It's true they lost Zaniolo, that was probably the best players, but Under didn't step up. Cliver is terrible, I think we can say it. Without Diawara, they don't have a defender midfielder that helps the defense, that is very slow. Kolarov is struggling. It's a team that really it's in a terrible situation. And if I was Fonseca, I would try to adapt and play a more defensive type of football, because like this, it's making it too easy for the opponents to score.
Absolutely. Carlo, would you, from a Roma perspective, would you say that you've seen enough from Fonseca to suggest that he will be there next season and that they will give him more time to get it right? Because, you know, like Vittorio said, the gap between, you know, the teams fighting for the Champions League and the teams not is huge. But have you been impressed by what you've seen from Roma? And is Fonseca on the right track at least?
Well, up until the new year, I thought he was doing a fantastic job. Because when the season started, I mean, having lost De Rossi, Totti, you know, there was a lot of controversy going into the new season. Where, you know, the almost like complaints about the American ownership and whether they were taking the heart of Rome out of Roma. And looking at the squad, when I did my preseason prediction for the top four, my top four actually were Juventus, Inter, Napoli, which I think everyone had in their top four, and Atalanta. Those were the four teams I thought would qualify for the Champions League. I didn't think Roma would qualify because I didn't think their squad was strong enough. So Fonseca, I thought, did a fantastic job. I thought he overperformed results-wise and performance-wise in the first half of the season, and was bringing a kind of modern brand of football, very kind of like positive football, pressing, not nice to watch. You know, Chris Smalling was a revelation. Zaniolo was playing fantastic. Diawara was playing fantastic. Everything was going great. The new year has been a disaster. I mean, they've lost four of their six Serie A games. They went out of the Coppa Italia as well. So they've lost five games already in all competitions in 2020 already, which is a terrible record. You know, so now, you know, things are going badly for Fonseca, but I think it's difficult to blame him too much, because not only was the squad already not the strongest, but now they've lost probably two of their best performing players this season. Zaniolo is just a disaster for Roma. I mean, he's such a fantastic young player and he was having such a great season. And like Vita said, Diawara as well is so important in the midfield in terms of, you know, just directing the play, being the regista there and controlling the midfield and making the team tick. And they just haven't been the same since those two players have been injured. So I do worry for them. They've got a huge game this Sunday this Saturday against Atalanta. If they lose that game, they're 6 points off the top four already. So you do worry for them, because they're a little bit in free fall at the moment. They need a positive result in that match.
Absolutely. And let's touch on Atalanta as you brought them up. Of course, 2-1 winners at Fiorentina. They just keep impressing, don't they, Vittorio? Everybody is almost waiting for Atalanta to fade away, and it's just not happening.
No, they play great football. They create really great football. Fiorentina started well that match and then was lucky to find a goal. I thought Gollini made a mistake on Chiesa's goal. But in the second half, it was no competition. You know, Atalanta from the beginning start pushing and Fiorentina wasn't able to defend well. And this is Atalanta, you know, even if you know, this was the first goal of Zapata since he got back from the injury. Now, if they get back Zapata to the form he had before the injury, they can be an unbelievable team. So they play great football. Obviously, they give you something when you're attacking because the defense is not great. But this is Gasperini type of football, right? They try to attack. They take the risk in defense. They play one against one. So they accept the risk. But, you know, when they have the ball on the feet, they can be really dangerous. And what Gasperini has done recently, like against Fiorentina in the second half, he put Papu Gomez, central midfielder, as a regista. And with the quality of this player, Atalanta really start playing great football. It's a risk because obviously Papu Gomez doesn't know how to defend like a midfielder. But when they have the ball on the feet, when they're attacking, this is a great advantage for Atalanta that has one man more in the midfield. So you never know what you're going to get from Atalanta. They play so great football. And then they're able to lose at home against Pau that is getting relegated. So, I mean, it's going to be really exciting to see this match Saturday because Roma is playing an offensive type of football, Atalanta as well. I think it's going to be a goal festival.
Moving on swiftly to the next game. Another team that I want to talk about, guys, is Torino, who lost to Sampdoria at the weekend. Of course, Sampdoria looking to make some, you know, headway between themselves and the relegation zone. But Torino have now lost four on the bounce, Carlo. Is it time for a change of management, perhaps?
Well, there. I mean, obviously, there has been Walter Mazzarri has obviously got the shot. So I think that was going to be inevitable, really. I mean, after the 7-0 defeat from Atalanta, I mean, there was a lot of complaints in Italy because the Italian way is that, you know, once you've got a game won, you should take your foot off the accelerator and just, you know, have mercy on your opponent. But Atalanta are trying to break every single scoring record going at the moment. I think only Manchester City have scored more goals in Europe's big five leagues than Atalanta. So they just kept racking up the goals. And I think that just completely destroyed the Torino players. And they've never recovered since that 7-0 thrashing. And obviously Mazzarri's got the chop. And longer, you know, he's not had a great start, you know, to life there on the bench. So, yeah, it's a difficult one for Torino, because I mean, if you count the defeat to Milan in the Coppa Italia, they've actually lost five games in a row, and I think during that time they must have conceded something like almost 20 goals, I think, in those games. I mean, they had hopes for the Europa League at the start of the season, but now they've got to look over their shoulder towards the relegation zone.
Exactly. And that was going to be my next question, Vittorio. Is there a danger of them getting sucked into that relegation fight? Because there's only, as it stands, 8 points between them and Genoa, who are in 18th. I know 8 points is quite a fair amount, but, you know, when a team are in freefall, it can often be difficult to get out of it. And, you know, it won't be long, can only be a couple of weeks maybe before they find themselves dragged even closer to it. So do you fear for them at all?
Yes, because as Carlo was saying, Gazzetta dello Sport, but other media in Italy was saying that Torino would arrive above Lazio. They would have fight for the Europa League, finish fifth, sixth, maybe fighting for the Champions League. And now they're playing very bad. And they have Sirigu, that is a good goalkeeper. They have Belotti. They have the Silvestri. They have a good bunch of players, but they're playing rubbish. Mazzarri, I think it's a old-style manager. I think he's passed. He's not making the difference anymore. But, you know, when you lose confidence, it's tough to recover. And this is what's happened to Torino player. Now, Sampdoria with Ranieri was able, because Ranieri has experience, he's a good manager. He has the experience to recover from bad situation. Longo, for me, is not a great manager. He has no experience of this type of situation. I don't agree with the decision they made. Yeah, he's linked with Torino. He's a Torino fan and all these type of things. But this is a dangerous situation. And I think in this type of situation, you should go and hire an experienced manager. And Longo is not this type of manager. So the risk is huge for me.
So it is, Is Longo in there on a long term, with a view to the long term, or do you think he's just been put in there for, you know, to sort of try and steady the ship?
Well, he's there till the end of the season, I believe. You know, so if he does a good job, then obviously there's always a chance that he could be appointed permanently. But he's not, you know, a sexy name, as you know, Vito was saying. I think part of the problem at Torino at the moment is the fans are very much against the owner at the moment. And that often spills over. And it did actually after the 7-0. And I think even before that game against Atalanta, the coach then gets in the firing line as well. So it's a difficult situation. There's a bit like Napoli, really. But there's a few problems behind the scenes there at Torino. And that never helps when you're in a situation like Torino find themselves now.
Yeah, I mean, because the appointment of Longo, to me, just seems like a short-term thing. It's like they're trying to plug a hole. But surely a club of Torino's stature, of Torino's size, would be a little bit more ambitious when appointing a manager. Was it just the case, maybe, in your opinion, Vittorio, of them just feeling like they had to get rid of Mazzarri, therefore they had to make a change now, and it didn't really matter who it was, because maybe they've been a little bit arrogant and think that they're not going to get dragged into the relegation fight, but also that hope of qualifying for Europe is lost as well?
Yeah, I thought, and I don't know if Carlo agree with me, that they should have made this change 2-3 weeks ago. I mean, they started the year, beating Roma away, and after that it was a complete disaster. And you can see that Mazzarri was struggling, because one positive thing of Mazzarri is the defense. And Torino started allowing 3-4 goals often, nearly every match. So this tells you that Mazzarri wasn't able anymore to do his job. So you had to switch there. Now it's a little bit too late. And then find someone with experience. Find someone like, you know, Sampdoria went to Ranieri. It's a perfect fit. Find someone like Ranieri available. Obviously, the problem is that the owner didn't want to spend that much money, you know. I can understand Spalletti maybe is too much for Torino, but go and find an experienced manager to save you. Longo was, you know, the Torino fan that always dreamed to have this chance, but it's a very dangerous choice from Torino. It's very dangerous. So there's a big risk. And again, you have Izzo that was considered one of the best defenders. You have a lot of good players, but simply you're losing match in a terrible way. So when you're not prepared to fight for relegation, that's the time when you really struggle and you get relegated.
Yeah, it can come up and creep up behind you, can't it? And surprise you. And often teams, like you said, they're not equipped to deal with those kind of circumstances, with those kind of games. It almost becomes a bit of a dogfight down at the bottom of the division. And that could be said, you know, anywhere in world football. Guys, we're going to leave it there. We're going to wrap it up. I'm just going to quickly touch on some of the games that are coming up next weekend, because it is a huge weekend in Serie A. Week 24, it gives us Atalanta against Roma. It gives us Juventus against Brescia, Lazio, Inter, as we've already mentioned. Torino, who we've just been discussing, they travel to Milan. Sampdoria take on Fiorentina, amongst the other games as well. So that is it for this week. Thank you so much to my two panelists, Vittorio, as always, and to Carlo for joining us. And we hope to have you on again very soon, mate.
Yeah, I hope so too. And you'll be able to see my face next time.
Brilliant stuff. We look forward to it. We look forward to it. Guys, don't forget to follow Vittorio and Carlo. Their Twitter handles will be in the description below. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave us a review. You know the drill by now. And we'll be back next week with another edition of Simply Serie A. So until then, ciao.
Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.